Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about Islamic beliefs in the Quran. And just before the break, we had a caller on the line that we're discussing what Christians ought to do and what we need to understand. Is our caller still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right. Go ahead with your further questions or comments.
Yes, sir. Are you familiar with John Ramirez?
Somewhat.
Evangelist John Ramirez, he said the three things the church must have, which I fully agree and hit it right on target, is that we must have deliverance ministries, intercessory prayer teams, and spiritual warfare teams, which is more now than ever before, because witches are actually coming into the congregations and cursing the pastors and cursing the churches. And we know that their power is defeated through the cross of Jesus Christ, but still we should be sifting out and filtering out these devils, these people coming into the churches.
Well, let me clarify a couple of things, and I am partially in agreement. Let me clarify. If pastors from the pulpit, and I say this with all benevolence and all love for our pastors, everyone across denominational lines that's serving the Lord, teaching the Word of God and preaching salvation by faith alone through Jesus Christ. So with that being said, one of the things that we find is the missing element is that of expository preaching today. Expository preaching simply means you open the Word of God and you don't have a hobby horse. You don't have a little pet theological dogma. You simply preach and teach verse by verse, word for word, what does the Bible say in context. We've got a whole Bible, 66 books, making a single book, a Bible, and in that Bible we have several different writers, 40 different writers over 1,500-year period of time, and it's God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And if we would go back to the expository preaching in our pulpits today, where the congregants, those in the congregation, the church members, those that are saved, would be able to rightly divide the word of truth once delivered to the saints. Therein lies the problem. We're not teaching the scripture. Therefore, Christians are weak, vacillating, anemic, ignorant of the word, and have the inability to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. And it's only through the knowledge of the word of God, it's only through having the word of God hidden in our hearts that is part of, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, part of the whole armor of God. And we're not putting on the whole armor. Therefore, as a result of that, many Christians today, many believers, weak, anemic, ignorant of the word, are defeated by the fiery darts of the wicked one, that is Satan, and the hierarchy of all of his demonic imps that are carrying out, undermining, and destroying Christians in our churches today. So you're right in that sense. And we need to get back to the basics of preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. If that's
Hello?
Go ahead.
Well said, sir. And also, brother, that, you know, Exodus 15:3, Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. So, you know, Jesus, the son of David, David was a warrior for God. We are called to be warriors on the battlefield, and the church has been effeminized by this Jezebel preaching. We got women, you know, the Jewish people, they separate the women from the men. And we got a feminism and this Jezebel spirit overrunning the churches. And we need to ramp it up in the churches today, brother. And you're right on target. Keep on preaching the truth and stand for the faith.
Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your comments. I'm humbled by the comments, but thank you. We appreciate that. It is our effort each day, as many of you that listen daily, simply to expose the truth and base it on a biblical foundation, fundamental of the faith, and not something just arbitrary and capricious. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, Islamic belief and the Quran. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. We're talking about the El-Baghdadi and his being dispatched, and I use that term politely and very concisely, but he was dispatched. And yet we have those in Washington, Nancy Pelosi and the AOC and her squad, and the lunatics on the left of the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, that's now all up in arms, and they're finding some reason to criticize President Donald J. Trump for his making sure through our military forces, our special forces, that El-Baghdadi was dispatched. One of the best things I believe in the presidency of the Donald Trump that he could have done was to do as he promised to do, and that's what he has just done. In fact, Nancy Pelosi is upset because she didn't get informed before it took place. And President Trump said he couldn't because he could not risk a leak. And when you find with Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the whole squad, anything that said to them, it could be leaked to the press, and as a result of that, could have squandered any possibility of dispatching al-Baghdadi. But you asked, I asked the question early, what is it that he's done? What are some of the terrorist attacks? And he's done orchestrated the terrorist attacks in France and Germany and New Zealand and America and many other nations, about 100 nations around the globe. And the thing that I was pointing out early on this broadcast, we had 20 men lined up in their orange jumpsuits and hands tied, and they were bent over on their on their arms and knees, and they were beheaded summarily, one at the time, and videoed and put online so that it would be the recruiting tool for al-Baghdadi to get other jihadists to come in. He had people caged, put gasoline on them, and then burned alive while videotaping it. Some were caged and dropped into the ocean to drown without being helpless and totally without any control. al-Baghdadi was personally responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for the torture and the rape and the murder of Kelly Mueller. She was captured, taken captive back in 2013. When she was taken captive and then ultimately murdered in 2015. Her parents were just interviewed. I felt sorry for her parents on television. They were being interviewed about what did they think about al-Baghdadi and his being dispatched through the leadership of our president. Here's an article that says, parents of woman raped, tortured by ISIS, grateful to Trump, says Obama should have been so decisive. For Marsha and Carl Mueller, the news was personal. This article says, the death of Islamic State group leader al-Baghdadi Saturday was a big event to most Americans, a victory in the country's long running the likely endless war of terrorism. But for the Millers, whose daughter Kaylee was tortured by Baghdadi's henchmen and repeatedly raped by the terrorist himself while being held prisoner by the Islamic State in Syria, it was a word they've been long waiting for. The article further says, in a newspaper interview published Sunday, the Muellers thanked President Donald J. Trump and the members of the United States military involved the raid that resulted in the death of their daughter's tormentor. An operation, military official says, was named in her honor. The Muellers were also offered a compromise comparison between Trump and former President Barack Obama that every American should think about. Quote, I still say, this is the mother speaking, I still say that Kaylee should be here. And if Obama had been as decisive as President Trump, maybe she wouldn't have been killed. End quote. Kaylee Mueller was a humanitarian aid worker, a human rights activist from Prescott, Arizona, who traveled to Syria to work with Danish Refugee Council and an aid group called Support Life. She was taken hostage by the Islamic State group in Aleppo in 2013. She was held in many prisons, Carl Mueller told the Republic. She was held in solitary confinement. She was tortured. She was intimidated. She was ultimately raped by al-Baghdadi himself. Further article says, Kaylee Mueller's tormented end ended in 2015 when she was confirmed dead, though her body was never recovered, the Republic reported. Quote, I still say Kaylee should be here, and if Obama had been as decisive as President Trump, maybe she would have been, Marsha Mueller told the Arizona Republic interview, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, for a family like that, this does not bring an answer. In fact, her body's never been recovered. They do not know where her remains are today because she was summarily tortured, gang raped, and then murdered in captivity by al-Baghdadi. And someone might say, well, it sure is a shame that we took him out. No, it's not. I think we need to recognize that we're in a war, and it's spiritual warfare. We need to recognize the last days, dark days, the perilous times that we're in, and understand what we need to do in the defense of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question, why is the death of al-Baghdadi important to all Americans, especially to Christians? We are witnessing the rise of Islam jihadism and the future control of our great nation by Islam today. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the demographers tell us, the demographers warn us, that's those that specialize in looking at the demographics around the world, the movement of people and the settlement of nations and the changing of boundaries and the populace and the control thereof. The demographers tell us that the United States of America, listen carefully, will be under Islamic control by 2050. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I won't be here. Many of you listening won't be here. But if Jesus tarries, the rapture tarries, we'll have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids that will be here. So for their sake, for their benefit, we need to understand what is happening and stand up, speak up, and do something. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. This says the genocide against Christians is spreading. Jihadist fighters bombed churches in Carolina during Easter worship services. The Easter massacre took place, took the lives of at least 253 people. In a chilling claim of responsibility, ISIS warned cross-worshippers, i.e. Christians, cross-worshippers, it can no longer be ignored. ISIS is targeting Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, across the around the globe, in nations where Islam rises up and takes power, Christians are wiped out, summarily destroyed. The Yahidis, I think they're called, in the Middle East, especially in Syria and in Turkey, they are in no man's land. And thus far, ladies and gentlemen, under the Obama administration, nothing was done to give any strength or any encouragement, any hope or any bringing them out of the captor's hand, claws in that part of the world. Christians being eliminated and wiped out and destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the handwriting on the wall, if you please. Today's Europe is dominated. Europe today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, understand in Europe today, 98% claim no faith at all, claim no religion at all. Only 2% claim to have faith in Jesus Christ. 2% have any church relationship, Christian relationship at all. I understand that. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's a looming problem far greater than just the apostasy and the falling away that's taking place. Because what is happening in Europe is being totally changed demographically. Europe, all of Europe today, ladies and gentlemen, is being changed by the invasion of Islam. And it's as a result of the ignorance on the part of the political leadership in France and Germany and Sweden and in most all of the European nations today, where they have opened Pandora's box and allowing the Islamic jihadists to immigrate in and take total control of the governance and the system that leads them in the nation. In fact, in Europe today, women are publicly raped. And yet, the news media, the political pundits, political leadership will say to the women, it evidently is your fault. Will say to the women, you shouldn't have been walking at night by yourself. Will say to the women, you should have your bodies covered more completely. They will say to the women of Europe today that this is the nature of those Islamic men, so therefore we need to tolerate it and not do anything about it. Today, ladies and gentlemen, women in France and Germany and in most of Europe are warned by the authorities to stay in at night, to don't walk alone at night, and to cover your body more completely when you go out. That's in the daytime and at night in Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Sweden, 1 in 4 women are afraid to leave their homes. According to a new survey, almost a quarter of Swedish women are afraid to leave their homes over fears that they will be attacked and sexually assaulted. 15.3% of people aged 16 or older stated that they did not want to go out in the evening out of concern that they're being assaulted or threatened. Among women, the proportion was 25%, according to the statistics. This article says back in August, sales of pepper spray in some areas of Sweden have surged some 90% amidst concerns over the country's rape problem. After a string of 4 sexual assaults by and rapes in the span of 5 nights, Swedish police in numerous cities advised women not to walk alone at night and not to go out at night, stay home at night. Figures released last year found that 58% of the convicted rapists and 85% of all of the convicted assault rapists in Sweden are from Europe and they're Islamic. In cases where the victim did not know their attacker, the proportion of foreign offenders was more than 80%. Nearly 40% of the convicted rapists are from the Middle East or from Africa, areas of the world where Sweden has accepted large numbers of migrants in recent years. So, ladies and gentlemen, That answers the question of what is taking place. Here's an article that says, and I'll just read the headline, "Child rape is part of our culture," says an Islamic preacher in Denmark. That's the mindset. And yet somehow, some way, we're admitting in America, admitting and allowing those to come in that are of the Islamic background and saying that we can just change their... Listen, ladies and gentlemen, they will not assimilate. They will not assimilate. Islamics will not assimilate in America. Here's an article about Ilhan Omar. Title of the article, Ilhan Omar admits she will not assimilate in America. Ilhan Omar admits that she will not assimilate. Ilhan Omar will not respect American culture. Respecting American culture is silly, she comments. Omar claims there's no need to assimilate because being an American means being yourself and nothing more. Ladies and gentlemen, it's far deeper than just being yourself. It is far deeper than that because in Islamic culture and Islamic thought, based on the Islamic book, the Quran, based on that, they're not going to assimilate in any part of the world they go into. Their mindset and design purpose is to come into any nation and to grow in number enough that they will be able to overpower the system and take total control as an Islamic nation. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, we are in a nation today in America where America has already opened the Pandora's box by the election of Islamics in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. These Islamics have allegiances to Allah and the Quran, not to America, not to the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution is laughed at and mocked by Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib and others that are Islamically bent in America today. In fact, it's an impossibility for them to have an allegiance to the Constitution and to the Quran at the same time. It just simply does not happen, ladies and gentlemen. That is not the norm for Islamics. Today, America has already opened its door to these Islamic leaders, and we put them in offices. Our politicians and our politically correct crowds are pushing Islam in our schools. What are they doing in our schools, ladies and gentlemen? They're teaching that Allah and God are the same. Our public schools, paid for by taxpayer dollars, are literally indoctrinating public school students in the governmentally controlled schools, indoctrinating them with Islamic diatribe, Islamic culture, Islamic Quranic teachings, indoctrinating them to believe that somehow, some way, Allah and God are the same. They're teaching our students the Quran. There are blocks of the surahs in the Quran that's being required memorization by U.S. American citizens in the public classrooms, in the public schools, teaching the students the Quran, and yet the Bible cannot be taught, yet the cross cannot be displayed, Jesus cannot be mentioned, you cannot read John 3:16 in the public school. It's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and it's wrong according to the political leaders today. In fact, in some of the public schools, governmentally controlled schools, they're providing prayer rugs for Islamic students to go to a special place of prayer and to fall down on their knees and worship Allah in a public school setting with the Quran available and with the prayer rugs made available through taxpayer dollars in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, U.S. schools urging teachers to bless Muslim students in Arabic. A public school instructing teachers to greet Muslims during Ramadan with Ramadan Mubarak and adjust test schedules to in rising the specter of official district endorsement of Islam. Further, the article says, the Freedom of Conscience Legal Defense Fund is warning that the Derringer School District in Lake Taps, Washington, about to its implementation of guidelines issued by the terror-linked Council on American Islamic Relations. Aftercare wrote to the school suggesting various changes in public policy and practice that would benefit Muslim students. The district recommended implementing using CARE's suggestions as official district policy. She distributed CARE's letter to the school principals, who in turn circulated it to all teachers and staff. Quote, by urging teachers to bless Muslim students in Arabic, the district is running roughshod over the First Amendment, mandating of government neutrality toward religion. A school district would never order teachers to welcome Catholic students or Christian students during Easter and sing He is Risen, Hallelujah, singing out Muslim students to special treatment is blatantly unconstitutional. This article further says, here by issuing the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations letter to district employees, you acted under color of state law to create an official policy that has primarily affected the advancement of religion, and that is the Islamic religion, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that nationally today. We're finding it on a national level where there is a move to literally inculcate and indoctrinate our students in the Quranic teachings in our public school system. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about today the subject of Islamic belief and the Quran and what is taking place in America today. It's brought to an apex and a crescendo in the understanding that al-Baghdadi has been eliminated from society. But don't you dare think by any stretch of the imagination that's going to stop the Islamic growth and the Islamic control. Keep in mind, in America, we are reproducing in our families by the average of about 1.8 siblings per couple. In Europe, it is down to where the couples, the Caucasian and the couples of Europe are producing 1.3. But in the Islamic families and Islamic groups where they have multiple marriages, they're producing 8.9 children per couple, 8.9. It's an impossibility not to recognize that that is one of the major fundamentals of the demographers and their founding, or their statements they found and stated that Islam will be controlling all of America by 2050. Ladies and gentlemen, today, the nation's largest chain of charter schools, they have about 500 of these schools. There's four of them in the city of Jacksonville. They're Islamically owned. In the public arena called the jihadist schools, as I would call them. I don't know if we've lost our sound or not. But they're teaching in these schools, jihadist teachers. They're importing teachers from Turkey. They're importing teachers that are Islamic in particular. And yet there's a refusal by American congressman to approve his extradition. You must ask the question why, and it's because he has funded their campaigns by the mega millions of dollars, and so therefore they're not going to extradite him back to Turkey, where he will be surely put to death. He owns and controls, ladies and gentlemen, the bulk of the charter schools in the United States of America. Here's an article also, ladies and gentlemen, it's just across our borders on the north side of America. Justin Trudeau recited the prayer for conversion to Islam at a Canadian mosque. It's a daily prayer service, this article says, with a particular meaning. Part of the prayer is called the Shahada. The Shahada, which is the Arabic meaning to testify, as in the testifying of the truth that Allah is the one true God and Muhammad is his one true prophet. To say the Shahada in the presence of two or more Muslim males is the sole, S-O-L-E, requirement for Islamic conversion. Did Trudeau convert to Islam? Did the people praying with him think he did? If so, did he mean it? This is the question asked in this article. Without question, this is a situation critical to Justin Trudeau's legacy as prime minister. If the man did, in fact, understand what he was doing, or was it typical that Trudeau, that he had no clue as to the ramifications of his reciting the prayer? It's one thing to visit a mosque on Monday, a synagogue on Tuesday, a gay pride parade on Wednesday, but to say the Shahada is more than showing tolerance or friendship to a faith. So, ladies and gentlemen, based on the Quran, based on what Justin Trudeau did in repeating the Shahada and saying that Allah is the one true God and Muhammad is his one true prophet, Justin Trudeau converted to Islam. Now, he can claim that he didn't understand it. He can deny the reality of it if he'd like. But, ladies and gentlemen, that has taken place there. And we find John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, or the DNI, he's been in several of the positions. Under the Barack Hussein Obama presidency, John Brennan converted to Islam. He is an Islamic today. So you can't wonder why he's done some of the things that he's done if you look at his background. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Islamic Center car looks too much like a police cruiser. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to tuck this in before reading a portion of the article. Across America today, we're trying to, in some way, sympathize with, embrace, and allow the Islamics to take control in our leadership, in our governance, and in the police power. St. Cloud, Minnesota has issued a cease and desist order against the local Islamic Center because its security car looks much like city police cars. St. Cloud Times reports the dispute arose when a council member spotted a car belonging to the Islamic Center of St. Cloud that looked like a vehicle the city officers drive, except that it said security rather than police. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place, and they're allowing in some of the cities across America, the largest cities with major concentrations of Islamics, they're allowing them to have their own Islamic courts where they make the decisions on Islam based on Islamic law. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what's happening in America today. We need to understand when they talk about being radicalized. So what does the term radicalization mean? What does it mean in general? What does it mean in particular? The media and the politicians would have us to think that somehow, some way, there's a difference between peaceful Islam and radicalized Islam. Yet all the jihadists, including the al-Baghdadi, simply read, simply studied, simply believed, simply followed the teachings of the Quran. So what does the Quran teach? What does the Quran say? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this, and I'm reading directly from the Noble Quran in these moments, in this final portion of the broadcast today. Surah 4:102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims, disbelievers. Surah 8:55, the worst moving living creatures before Allah are those that disbelieve, that are non-Muslims. Surah 9:5, kill the disbelievers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them. Capture them and besiege them and lie in wait for them each and every day in ambush if necessary. Surah 9:14. Fight against non-Muslims so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you victory over them. Surah 9:29. Fight against those who disbelieve in Islam and those Jews and Christians who acknowledge not the religion of true Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're in danger as a nation. We need to recognize that one of the great events that's taken place that helps to detract and detain some of the growth of Islam on the global basis is the taking out of al-Baghdadi. May I say today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to, as Christians, look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. We are looking forward to our next broadcast as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.